I am so thankful that Jesus loves me because technology does not always love me. And in the tech booth, I was not feeling the love tonight. So. Eventually, he will be here. He's gonna teach a lesson. Sometimes he's very slow. Yeah. So tonight, if we can get started.
That was shameful.
We had such a great time of worship.
Yes.
Celebrating the victory that Jesus Christ purchases for us. What does it look like to walk in what he does? Because we know that when we try to do things according to our own strength and our own abilities, sometimes we don't quite hit the mark. We don't hit the goal that we have in our mind. And it's disheartening at times when you know where you want to be, you know the things that you want to experience, and you know how you want your mind and your heart to work, and then you don't arrive there. It can be disheartening. And that's why this program is such a blessing. It's because we don't absolve ourselves of participation, but neither do we burden ourselves with the idea of capability. We participate, but we know the ability and capability come from Jesus Christ. What he's asking of us is that we would participate with him in what he wants to do through us. He won't do to us what we won't participate with him in accomplishing. It is truly symbiotic. We work together. He gives us the ability, we give the obedience. So when we look at something like spiritual inventory, we're taking concepts that Jesus Christ gave to humanity in his life and in his word. And then we're applying them to our life, and we're praying concurrent with these principles. We're praying, Lord, let your spirit empower me to live these principles out. But imagine if we were to try and live out principles that we had no knowledge of. Well, that doesn't even make any sense. That's a nonsensical statement, isn't it? You can't live out principles you have no knowledge of. You can't set about to establish goals in your life when you have no idea what the goal ought to be. So that's why we gather together, and every other week we do a lesson from the Celebrate Recovery curriculum, and it helps us to engage the intellect portion of our being, body, soul, and spirit, that intellect component of all of that, so that God has something to work with in us. So spiritual inventory is an essential component to allowing God to give us that chain-breaking victory over our past, over our present, over those hurts, over the habits, the hang-ups that continually thwart our joy. So here, let's dig in, shall we? Let's dig in and see what God's word has to say. We're going to look at assessing our spiritual person. We're going to do an inventory of it. Now, you could buy the package of four books that are put out by the Celebrate Recovery curriculum, and they're available on Amazon.com. You go out there and get a pack of four, and it's about $20, and that'll help you follow along. Or you can take notes tonight, or you can ask somebody after this and say, hey, I want to do this spiritual inventory thing. Can you help me with that? So there's a multiplicity of ways. You don't need $20, but if you wanted to, there's that. So lesson 10, spiritual inventory, it's based on principle 4, which states that we are going to openly examine and confess faults to self, to God, and to someone that we trust. That's Bible. We confess our faults to God. Well, before we can confess our faults to God, we have to acknowledge our faults to ourselves. And then in order to walk in an atmosphere of support, we share our faults with somebody else. We confess them to somebody else, somebody that we trust, somebody that we believe has the God enablement to help us overcome. So openly examine, confess, self, God, someone I trust. Good? There's a scriptural principle that goes along with it. Happy are the pure in heart. How do we achieve purity of heart? We examine self and we confess. God is so quick to forgive. He doesn't harbor grudges. It's beautiful. It really is so fantastic. We confess, he forgives. It's like somebody made it up. But yeah, somebody did. God. He made up the program. It's also based on step 4 from 12-step programs. We make a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. And again, it's really important to do this self-assessment so that you accurately can discern your condition. Imagine if you had a vehicle that had no gauges. If you're driving a car, it has no speedometer, no tachometer, no lights that light up on the dashboard to tell you that you're out of oil or that your temperature is too high or your tire's low. Imagine trying to operate a vehicle like that. And yet sometimes that's how we operate our lives. We have no idea where we are as far as how well we're equipped or how poorly we are equipped in different areas. And an inventory helps us to see, hey, you know what? I'm a little low on gas. I better stop at the gas station. Thankful I have a fuel gauge here, a fuel inventory. Hey, my engine's starting to overheat. Maybe I need some coolant. Thankful that I have a coolant inventory device on my... So we do that for the simplicity of our vehicle. What about the complexity of our soul? How can I know if I'm walking in fellowship with Christ if I have no idea where I'm at spiritually? Spiritual inventory. Which one do I want? I want this one. Lamentations 3:40 says, hey, let's examine our ways. Let's test them in comparison to God's word. And let's hightail it back to the Lord. That'd be a good place to go. All right, so we're going to look at, this is part one of a two-lesson series on spiritual inventory. We can use the spiritual evaluation that's been developed by Rick Warren and the Celebrate Recovery curriculum team. This is part of principle 4 in the process of coming clean. We're going to honestly and in a balanced fashion, examine our lives, examine our spiritual condition. We're going to confess faults. We're going to recognize faults. We're going to confess to God. We're going to confess to someone we trust. Now, maybe some of you are rather uncomfortable with this idea. Some people don't really care for introspection. They find it less than fulfilling to think about self. Well, sometimes people confuse introspection with, dwelling on self. We only need to look inwardly for as long and as thoroughly as is necessary to do a legitimate inventory, and then let's get our focus outwardly. We need to do this to make sure that our vehicle is operating correctly, and then we need to get our focus outward. Our focus needs to be on God. It needs to be on the people that God loves. Right? And I know that when you are honest with yourself in the mirror and you think about this, you find more joy in your life when you are outwardly focused, whether it be on God or somebody else. You find more fulfillment and more joy. Now, don't get that confused with codependency. See, we're prone to extreme, right? Because then we get so outwardly focused that we neglect self. No, we're talking about a balanced life here, aren't we? We keep our evaluation balanced. We keep our life balanced. So let's look at what a spiritual inventory is going to entail. Psalm 139:23-24. Search me, O God, know my heart. Test my thoughts. Point out anything you find in me that makes you sad. Lead me along the path of everlasting life. Now, how often do we make that kind of a prayer to God? Usually, I've got to pass this test, blind that officer so he doesn't see me going 20 over. Help me to wake up in the morning. Help me to go to sleep at night. Help me to get that promotion. Help me to not get fired. We're doing all these other prayers. And God is saying, hey, how about the relationship that you and I have together? How about you talk to me about me? Help me, Lord. Help me to follow after the things that please you. Help me to avoid the things that make you sad. Whoo, what a beautiful prayer. You think the Lord would pay attention to that? Hey, my daughter. She's talking about enhancing our relationship. I'm going to pay attention to that. All right. So we each possess three characters. The character we exhibit, the character we think we have. So this is the one for show, right? This one? That's the one for show. This is the one for self-deception. And this is the one we really have. And a spiritual inventory is going to help us to discover who we really are, legitimately, when we're doing this honestly and with the help of our support team. Celebrate Recovery support teams are awesome. So keep in mind that every single human being created has good qualities. You can't make that kind of a blanket statement. Oh, yes, I can. Because humanity is created in the image of God, and God is good. So there inherently is something, someplace in every human being, an attribute of good. May not be a lot, but every one of us has something good. So we're going to look at some of the good, we're going to look at some of the bad, we're going to look at our character shortcomings, our sins, things that can block us from receiving all the joy that God has intended, and then we're going to work on all four areas of our character tonight, four more at our next session. And this exercise is going to help you get started. You ready? Here we go. You thought we weren't started yet? We are. Now we're going to move on to the next. Relationship with others. Spiritual inventory? Yeah, relationship with others. Forgive us our sins. I love this. This is a very, North America, we know this prayer. It's part of the Our Father, is how my family tradition referred to this prayer. It's part of the Our Father, and this little tidbit is tucked in there. And it's about keeping a right relationship with both God and people. Hey, Lord, forgive me. I'll forgive them. Hey, Lord, forgive me just like I forgive them. Hey, Lord, please forgive me and help me to forgive them. Because he goes on to say that if we don't forgive others, we're not going to be forgiven. Oopsie. Yeah, we don't really include that part in our discussion with the Lord, but that's part of it. So our relationship with others. Ask yourself the following questions regarding your relationship with others. Who has hurt you? Oh, boy. Is there enough paper at Office Max to write the names? Who has hurt you? Legitimately, do I hold grudges? are we endeavoring to cultivate lives that are in accordance with God's word? Do we want to live lives that are pleasing in God's eyes? So then those lives need to be, they need to match up with his word, right? And didn't you read something about don't go to bed angry? Yeah, that's kind of hard to keep a grudge. Well, I'm not an angry grudge keeper. No, you're a deceived grudge keeper. So, against whom have you been keeping a grudge? Okay, so that number three. This is what happens with untreated grudges. They grow into revenge plants.
Revengements.
Yeah, revengements. Against whom are you still seeking revenge? The little witticism that John Baker includes here is, do you know that seeking revenge is like biting a dog just because it bit you? That doesn't help you or the dog, would it? Nay. Okay, are you jealous of someone? This is spiritual inventory. You know that this is based on Scripture, right? And so Jesus, when he's on earth, and we like to follow the teachings of Jesus, right? If we're not going to follow anything else in the Bible, we'll follow the teachings of Jesus. Well, in the Old Testament, it was said, thou shalt not kill. Jesus comes along and he says, you know, it says, don't kill. But I'm telling you, don't even be angry. Well, that sounds like grudges. You know that it was said of old, it's an eye for an eye. Score, we got some Bible for revenge. But I'm telling you, if somebody smacks you, you give them the other side and let them smack you there. Anybody still want to follow the words of Jesus? Oh, good. And then there's the whole thou shalt not covet thing. Rats! 4 for 4 right here. All right, let's keep going. 5, have you tried to justify your bad attitude by saying, well, they, you know, I'm not crabby until somebody starts telling me I'm crabby. That's the example. That's the illustration. I'm not, you know, I wasn't crabby until you started telling me how crabby. Have you ever heard anybody say that?
Yeah.
Hey, look, did it sound like your voice? did you hear it? Did you hear it with your own ears and the tone of your own voice? Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. So somebody just said, no, it was you. Okay, so that's keeping your spiritual inventory balanced. We're not going to look at anybody. All right, let's keep moving. 6. Oh, spiritual inventory. Who have you hurt? Now, 1 was who has hurt you. Unending list. 6, who have you hurt? Well, I remember Sean. Craig, that was probably 4th grade. I hurt him. I think that's the last person. Right. 7. Who have you been critical of or gossiped about tonight?
Doesn't
seem to. Oh, it doesn't.
Yeah. It might as well.
Right. Huh? Oh yeah. So that's 7. Are you keeping pace? Okay. What else do we have? Let's try a thing. Priorities, spiritual inventory. Now we're going to look at, so that was relationships, now it's priorities. Relationships, priorities. We do what's important to us. When I see you here on Tuesday night, I see that this is a priority in your life. When I don't see you in here, except for, you know, an occasional vacation, I think everybody's entitled to vacation every 5 years. You should take 3 or 4 days off every 5 years. And that ought to hold you. Okay, so I'm not getting any traction with that one. But no, when I see you here, I see that you're making this a priority. Here's the reality. We do what's important to us. Have you noticed that? We find time to sleep. We find time to eat. We find time to take care of personal hygiene. Those are important to us. We make sure that those things happen. This needs to be one of those aspects, your relationship with Jesus Christ, keeping a balanced spiritual inventory in the eyes of our God through the lens of his word. That needs to be a priority, like eating and sleeping, if you want to be spiritually healthy. Okay. Matthew 6:33. He will give them to you if you give him first place in your... What is that? What are you talking about? Answers to your prayers? When we establish God as the priority of our life, he works in our life. So this is that symbiotic relationship where we work with him And when we establish, when we purpose to have him the highest priority in our life, he comes in and he starts to rework the priorities in our life. And we're going to start seeing changes in our prayer life. We're not going to be praying for the $2.5 million estate on the St. Croix River anymore. We're going to start praying for the neighbors. Lord, they don't know you. They need to know who you are. So instead of praying for material things, we begin to pray for eternal things. And he will give the things that you pray for if you give him first place in your life. And this is that symbiotic thing, because now all of a sudden the things that you pray for are the things that he wants you to pray for. All right, it's a beautiful thing. And then life is just so rich and full because you're seeing your prayers answered. After making the decision to turn your life and your will over to God, in what areas of your life are you still not putting God first? This is how we establish our inventory, right? And this is priority inventory. We did relationship inventory, now we're doing priority inventory. So what areas of our life are we not putting God first? So what might that look like? If suddenly underwater basket weaving takes a higher priority than learning about the things of God, or one of the challenges that we face as we grow in our Christian faith is that our spiritual knowledge begins to increase. And I've been involved in ministry for a number of years, and what I've witnessed is that people reach a certain point where they misconstrue the magnitude of their spiritual knowledge, and they think that they've reached their spiritual knowledge destination, and that there's nothing really that can be added to their spiritual knowledge. Yeah, you know, fine little accoutrements, like an after-dinner mint could be added, and that's, you know, special, but not really a necessity. They're full. And so other things begin to take a priority in their life. And they may not find the gathering together of people that are seeking to deepen their relationship with Christ. They may not see that as a priority any longer because they're full. But what we fail to understand, and this is part of that relationship with God thing, is that if we are indeed getting full, then we become responsible for overflowing and spilling out on people around us. So we don't get to stay away from church because we're full. No, the greater responsibility is on us to be in these meetings because we're full. Because there are people that need your witness. They need your example. I went all church with the witness thing. They need your example. They need to see the fullness of your relationship with Christ. So there's never an excuse to stay home, because there's always someone that can benefit from your fullness. Isn't that awesome? So we do what's important, right? So it was important for you to get full. Now is it important for you to overflow? It ought to be. Was it important to Jesus to overflow? Yeah, it certainly was, wasn't it? He overflowed to such an extent that he allowed humanity to nail him to a cross. Now, nobody's asking you to go on the cross, but we are asking you to make overflowing a priority in your life by attending meetings like this and allowing others to witness the example of what God can do in your life. So, what areas of your life are you still not putting God first in? When you say, I know this is going to sound not how I want it to, and now I've colored it already. But when you say, I can't tonight, you've just put yourself above God. Is that right? Well, I just can't tonight. I just can't. Well, who is the person that is sitting in the empty chair where you would have been? Who's sitting beside that empty chair longing for someone to come and to give them the example of an overcoming life, a victorious life, a life that celebrates recovery. And when we don't come, other people suffer. Right? So, number one, what areas of your life? Are you more important than God? Are you more important than the people that God died for? Are you more important than the people that God died for?
No.
No, we're not. Okay. You don't want me to teach this lesson again next year? Somebody else can teach it? We'll eliminate this one. What? Number two, priorities. What in your past is interfering with your doing God's will? What in your past is interfering with you doing God's will? So maybe you've tried to overflow in the past and somebody mocked you. And so now that stinger is preventing you from doing it again. But again, that's my pain has a greater priority than God's purposes. And I understand that we have pain that inhibits us. But we're working together with God, and we're working for that symbiotic relationship that if when we work with God, that He's going to give us the capability to overcome our pain. So we don't have to be limited. What have been your priorities in your job? In your friendships, in your personal goals? Are they self-centered, self-serving? People are more intuitive than we give them credit for. And maybe they won't be able to articulate what they feel, but you know yourself. You have been around the me monsters. They're kind of like zombies. They just want to eat your brain. They're me monsters. It's all about me. 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 I need you to give to me. Right? We don't want to be that. See? All right. Keep going. Four. Who did your priorities affect? Positively and negatively. We're of course seeking for the positive, and we're doing this inventory, and so we're going to make sure that we look at the positive priorities that we have, and then we can count the positive influences that we've had because of the positive influences. We don't always have to look at, well, I failed there and I failed there and I came up short there. No, because each one of us has dimensions of these things where we do excel, right? Balanced inventory. Attitude. So we've done relationship and priority and attitude now. Get rid of all bitterness, passion, and no more shouting insults. No more hateful feelings of any sorts. Did you read that tonight too?
Yeah.
All right, five areas of attitude, and then we'll be five steps closer to the end. Do you always try to have an attitude of gratitude? Or do you find yourself saying, well, that was nice, but... And sometimes we kind of couch that in the, well, I'm just looking for areas for improvement. Continual improvement is a goal that I strive for. Okay, but, you know, we can have continual improvement, but sometimes you just need to say, wow, that was nice, without any addendum, without any codicils added to the end of it. Just say, that was nice. Two, what areas of your life are you ungrateful? Balance. Have you gotten angry and easily blown up at people?
No.
Okay, good. $150, $140, $130, $120. Okay, I think I can go on. Have you been sarcastic? I'm not going to tell. That's just going to be up to you. Okay, now look, can we be just serious for a microsecond anyways? Sarcasm can be a form of wit, but it's a very dangerous form of wit because it very quickly can turn verbally abusive. So, and I don't know that I'm always judicious in my sarcasm. I think I'm being good-natured about it, but I don't get to be the arbiter of that. It's the recipient of my sarcasm that gets to determine whether I'm being good-natured or not. I know my intent, but if my intent is not delivered in a way that, if my intent is not received in the way that I intended to deliver it, then I failed, and I need to curtail that. I don't want to offend one of God's precious people, people that he loves. I don't want to intentionally offend somebody. So we work to mitigate that, right? 5, what in your past is still causing you fear or anxiety? Your past really isn't your past if it continues to shape your present. You get that, right? You think about the thing that happened to you in 8th grade, and if it still shapes how you live today, it's not in your past. It's right there. And there are ways to get rid of that. And that's deepening your relationship with God. And as you come to know him better, as the deepness of your relationship increases and your knowledge of who he is begins to excel, you're going to understand that he is the God of the right now. Jesus said that when he was here on earth. God said it in the Old Testament. I am. They came to arrest him in the garden. They said, "Are you Jesus?" "I am." Boom, they fall down. Because he's making the declaration of who he is. He is the right now God. Time is a function of the creation. He's not bound by time. He is the eternal present. He doesn't live in the past. He lives here. And as we get to know him better, we don't have to live in the past. We don't have to be bound by the past. How we got here was shaped by our past. But I don't have to be continually influenced by my past from this point forward, do I? No, not when I'm in fellowship with Christ, because he's the right now God, the present God. Integrity. Now we're really closing in on the end. Do not lie to each other. You've left that behind. That's part of the thing that you did in your old life. 5 things for integrity. In what past dealings were you dishonest? Let's list those out, and we're going to get those taken care of, right? Have you stolen things? Again, these are things that we don't do anymore. They're not who we are. I am not a thief. I may have stolen in the past. I have repented, which means I've turned away from that. You get that, right? When God's calling us to repentance, that means you don't continue in the behavior. So if you repent of stealing, that means you're no longer stealing. If you repent of lying, you're no longer lying. So you're not a liar anymore. Not a liar. Not a thief. That's awesome, isn't it? Because we live in the now, not defined by what I was. Have you stolen things? All right, let's get it on the inventory. But I'm not that anymore. Have you exaggerated yourself to make yourself look better? Boastings? Get that taken care of. What areas of your life have you used false humility? Oh, really, really. No, stop the applause after another 20 minutes. In what past dealings were you dishonest? That should be 5. We're not back to 1 again and doing 5 more. In what past dealings were you dishonest? Okay, wrap up, and we're all gloriously happy. How does he go till 8:30? I don't know. He just has too many words. All right, that's enough to work on for 1 week. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen. But with vigor. But next week, we're going to, in 2 weeks, who's up next? Is it you? Tech will be up next. And he's going to do a spiritual inventory. We'll explore our old ways of thinking, and we're not going to think like that. The way we've treated others, mistreated God, mistreated God's temple. We didn't walk by faith. We're just going to get rid of all that stuff, right? We're going to start inventorying it, assessing it, repenting of it, and moving away from it. Let's see. No matter how deep the stain of your sins, does anybody remember February in this country? In this Midwest state of Wisconsin? It was like snow, and then there was snow, and then there was more snow. Next time that happens, could be in a day or two, but next time that happens, when the snow comes, just remember this passage. And it makes you feel so much better. Because you say, oh, God's reminding me that my sins are not scarlet any longer. They're white as snow. So I had a lot of reminding I needed in February. I don't know about you all, but. Okay, let's close in prayer. You ready? Mighty God, we thank you. We thank you for this journey that you've invited us on. That you've called each and every person here because of your great love for them and your desire for them to celebrate the recovery that you bring. Let your spirit enter into each one of us tonight and bring encouragement and hope. Grant to us that gift of faith that only you can give, that faith that believes that you can take our lives and do something wonderful in and through us. Thank you, mighty God, for loving each person here and even loving me. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.